Should governments invest in pandemic preparedness the same way they invest in military readiness? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Professor Sarah Gilbert, one of the scientists behind the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, is calling for more funding now to ensure we don't lose the knowledge we've gained over the past 2 years fighting the deadly outbreak of COVID-19. She'll deliver a lecture later today comparing investment required for battling future deadly viruses to that needed for armed forces to defend against war. Her warning comes as nations around the world continue to implement more travel restrictions and precautions to protect their populations from the Omicron coronavirus variant. The BBC's Fergus Walsh has more on that story.
Professor Sarah Gilbert said the scientists who led the global fight against COVID should not be allowed to fade back into underfunded obscurity at the end of this pandemic. She warned that the next virus that emerges to threaten our lives could be both more contagious and deadly than coronavirus, adding it was vital to supply global funding for pandemic preparedness.
Just as we invest in armed forces and intelligence and diplomacy to defend against wars, we must invest in people, research, manufacturing and institutions to defend against pandemics.
Professor Gilbert said the rapid progress seen in delivering vaccines and medicines during the pandemic should become the norm, adding there was no reason why a universal flu vaccine could not be developed in order to wipe out the threat from influenza, a disease that causes pandemics several times a century.
That's Fergus Walsh reporting there. Checking the numbers now, Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index closed at a 14-month low today, dragged down by losses across the tech sector. Alibaba shares slid 5.6% to a record low after it announced it's reorganizing its e-commerce business and it's appointed a new chief financial officer. Elsewhere, shares of struggling property giant Evergrande dropped nearly 20%, also to a record low in Hong Kong. That's as it continues to face the possibility of default on its $3 billion debt pile. Authorities over the weekend have reportedly stepped in to help it manage ongoing risk. The mood, though, is decidedly more optimistic here in Europe, where benchmarks are up in the 0.8% to 1% range. To Australia now, where a team of artists and scientists are collaborating to build what they're calling a climate change recorder described as Earth's black box. The idea is to create something similar to devices aboard airplanes that record flight data and voices inside the cockpit. This one, though, will be installed on a remote rock formation in Tasmania and have enough capacity to store 50 years worth of data. From Sydney, the BBC's Shaima Halil explains how the box will work.
The box will collect measurements of land and sea temperatures, ocean acidity, CO2 levels, species extinction, land use changes, as well as military spending and energy consumption. It will also collect contextual data such as newspaper headlines, social media posts, and news from key events like climate change conferences. The structure will be filled with a mass of storage drives, all powered by solar panels. When the sun is shining, the black box will be downloading scientific data and an algorithm will be recording climate change-related material.
That's Shaima Khalil reporting from Sydney there. Well, staying with the climate theme, nations gathered at the UN Climate Summit in Glasgow this year agreed to rapidly increase the amount of renewable energy they use. The International Energy Agency says there's already been a record level of renewable power added to national grids this year. It's often from wind, solar, and nuclear sources, but what about hydrogen? Many governments want to include it in future-proofing plans, and though most hydrogen is still made using fossil fuels, Danish researchers are scaling up so-called green hydrogen, as the BBC's Adrienne Murray reports.
This enormous turbine is being used to produce a clean fuel, hydrogen gas. In what's claimed to be a world first, this pilot plant is powered only by a dedicated turbine, without any connection to the grid.
We can truly say we produce green hydrogen here because it's purely generated by wind.
Paul Skierbeck is Chief Innovation Officer at Siemens Gamesa.
And the good thing with hydrogen, when you burn it, you actually do not get the CO2 emissions. So what comes out of the exhaust is water instead of all the nasty stuff we see today.
The clean fuel produced here is used by local taxis. Today, most hydrogen, about 95%, is made using fossil fuels. This is known as grey hydrogen, and it has a heavy carbon footprint. If that's captured and stored, so-called blue hydrogen is produced. On the other hand, green hydrogen is made sustainably, with water and renewable electricity. But the industry is in its infancy. Supplies are limited and much more costly. At its facility in the southern port town of Colling, the firm Green Hydrogen Systems makes electrolysers, the technology needed to produce it. Chief Executive Sebastian Cox Andreasen explains how it works.
In essence, we split water into hydrogen and oxygen. So what this does is, through electricity, we can actually take out the hydrogen molecule from H2O. To label it green hydrogen, it requires that the power input for this electrolysis process is indeed coming from renewable energy sources.
On the shop floor, engineers are tinkering with what look like big cylindrical drums lined with rows of parallel metal bars. About 50 units will be made this year, but the business has big expansion plans.
We see quite a number of different markets and countries and policymakers who are putting hydrogen on their agenda. We've seen the EU policymakers last year putting forward the so-called EU Green Deal policy, which targets 6 gigawatts of installed capacity by 2024. That is an increase of approximately 30 times compared to today's market.
Hydrogen has been touted as a climate solution before, but it hasn't really taken off. However, proponents like Mr. Andreasen say the picture has now changed.
Renewable electricity sources, they have become available in a much different volume than before and in the past, and they have also become much cheaper.
But it's still much more expensive than its fossil fuel siblings.
Broadly speaking, the cost of green hydrogen today is approximately the double as grey hydrogen. But we see a number of different things taking place over the next couple of years. Firstly, we as an industry will bring down the cost on the equipment. We also have the expectation that electricity prices will drop as well. And also, we think it's quite likely that the carbon prices will increase, making the grey alternative more costly.
In Copenhagen, it fuels a fleet of more than 100 taxis. At an event by the city's harbourfront, green taxi firm Driver is showcasing more than a dozen of its cabs. Chief Executive Haider Shaiwandi tells me it was a better option for his business than alternative electric battery cars.
In the taxi industry, the most important thing is time. You have to thinking about the recharging part. For recharging a hydrogen vehicle, is take maximum 5 minutes.
Dozens of larger-scale green hydrogen plants are now on the horizon, both here in Denmark and places like Australia, Norway, Saudi Arabia and Chile, where renewables are abundant. But it will take enormous efforts to scale up this fledgling green industry if it's to make a game-changing impact.
That's the BBC's Adrienne Murray reporting from Western Denmark there and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.